Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Palliative care can relieve symptoms of serious illnesses like cancer. It can happen in a hospital or in a patient's home. But despite high cancer rates on Native American reservations, this specialized care is difficult to access. A research partnership is looking to change that through community meetings in the Cheyenne River, Rosebud, and Pine Ridge reservations in mid-December. SDPB's Jackie Hendry spoke with members of the research team ahead of their first community meeting. Mary Isaacson of SDSU's College of Nursing in Rapid City, B.R. Daubman of Massachusetts General Hospital, J.R. LaPlante of Avera Health, and Tinka Duran of the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board joined Jackie from the Black Hill Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City.
To kind of set the stage for our listeners, B.R., I wonder if you can talk to us a bit about an overview of what palliative care does for patients.
Sure. I think of palliative care as specialized medical care for people with serious illness. So often we think of it just as cancer care, but it's any patient who has an illness that is serious to them. So anything from cancer to heart disease or lung disease like emphysema. And this type of care is focused mainly on providing patients with relief from the symptoms, the pain, and the stress that can go along with having a serious illness. And it's appropriate whatever the diagnosis and whatever the prognosis. So a lot of people worry that it's just for end of life, but it's really supporting people throughout that, the entire course of their disease. And hopefully the goal is to provide an extra layer of support for the patient's other clinicians, for the patient, and for the family members.
And how is this kind of care delivered? Is it in a facility? Is it in home?
So that's a great question. Yes and yes. Palliative care is sort of amorphous in a way in that it's not a specific place. Palliative care can be delivered in home-based services where teams come to the patient wherever they are, wherever they consider home, be it a nursing facility or their home or a group home. It's provided where I work. I'm mainly a doctor in the hospital where I do consultations on patients who are sick in the hospital. It can be provided at hospice facilities, at freestanding hospice houses, where people are at the end of life. So that's kind of the good thing about palliative care is we infiltrate everywhere, and that's the complicated thing in that it's not a simple answer.
Exactly. And then I can imagine that's especially difficult when it comes to very rural communities and Native and reservation communities. So Tinka, I wonder if you can outline for us just how important this kind of care in particular is for Native communities.
Sure. So we know our Great Plains region, American Indians, have higher rates of cancer than other American Indians across the United States. For instance, we have the highest incidence of lung cancer of all tribes across the United States. Our men and women are being diagnosed also at late stages of various cancers, for breast cancer, colorectal cancer, and again, lung cancer. So we're seeing our people not being screened in time, and then thus then being late stages. If they're found at late stages, it's harder to treat the cancers. So that, again, is where the palliative care steps in, is being able to provide those services to those living with serious illnesses like cancer in our tribal communities.
I see. Mary, there are a lot of parties involved with this partnership. I wonder if you can outline for us everyone who's involved with this effort on expanding palliative care onto these reservation communities and when this all really got started.
So this collaboration, which is truthfully why I really wanted all four of us to be here, because it helps to actually demonstrate the power of the collaboration. Massachusetts General, under the direction of Dr. Katrina Armstrong, was actually the lead in this, where a National Cancer Institute NIH grant came available. And she wondered, is there any possible way that we can collaborate with our tribal communities? The work that I have done through South Dakota State University in my own research on Pine Ridge was to understand, you know, is palliative care culturally congruent with tribal life ways, and found overwhelmingly that yes, but how do we get it started? So she reached out to me to find out how do we incorporate the work that I already know and expand it. And then Avera Health, through Walking Forward, has been intimately involved, especially in Rosebud and Pine Ridge, in their own cancer survivorship program. So that was a natural collaboration. And then bringing JR on board as a diversity person for Avera Health, and also being a member of Cheyenne River, was a wonderful collaboration for us as well. And then Great Plains, they work within all the reservations and then also have that connection with Indian Health Service. So can really provide that overview and those key connection points that are needed to make sure that we're addressing this appropriately and working with the community throughout the entire process.
Right. And tell us a little bit more, if you would, about your research when it comes to healthcare in Native communities and that cultural disconnect that often happens when we expand kind of these Western philosophies towards care into these underserved communities that have been burned often by that same healthcare industry.
That's a fabulous question, and one that we, especially if you're a white researcher, need to always consider and to understand that we are a guest when we arrive and to always consider what does the population want and to go by their lead. And so it's really presenting yourself in a very humble fashion and to really be open to listening and providing where your resources can best help to support. So in the research that I have done, often it was, how do I obtain grant funding? And then together, how do we design the program and how do I help facilitate getting the monies where it needs to be? I think of the advanced care planning work that I had done, and the tribal elders truthfully led that project. They knew where this would work best, what hoops we had to jump through, whether it be through the tribal council or where would be the best place to initiate the program, things that I would not have known because I don't know the reservation community that well. So it's really being open to listening and hearing and also recognizing that we have to incorporate the culture into the program. It cannot be designed the way we as Euro-Americans feel it should be.
Right.
And this is Tinka. I just kind of want to add to that is that developing education in our tribal communities needs to be tribal focused. If you develop education that is not specific to our population, we tend to look at it and our community tends to look at it and says, oh, that's not me. That's not going to happen to me, you know, because it doesn't look like them. The education's not about them. It, you know, it's not geared or focused towards the American Indian population. So it's so important that when we're doing this project that we're inclusive of our population and culturally competent with our population when we're providing resources, education, and those types of items.
I also have some information here related to community advisory boards on that realm of working with the community and making sure that these ideas reflect the community where the work is happening. And to that end, JR, I wonder if you can tell us more about Avera's end of this and how you're working with those community advisory boards on these three reservations.
Thanks, Jackie. Well, as you know and as we've discussed before, Avera is really focused and intent on building meaningful partnerships with our tribal communities. And part of that is finding ways to approach those communities that are effective and also culturally appropriate. One of the things that we've found through previous research studies that we've done is that the use of a community advisory board becomes very indispensable to the process. It's very important that we bring community stakeholders into these studies early on. And in our case, we're bringing our community advisory board on at the very beginning before we do any type of community outreach or any type of any stakeholder meetings or anything. So this community advisory board is going to be critical, informative to the approaches that we take. I couldn't think of a more important study to do in Indian Country because, as Tinka mentioned earlier, Indian Country in South Dakota, in particular, even in relative to other Indian tribes across the country, we suffer from some of the worst health disparities throughout the nation, whether it be cancer, whether it be complications from diabetes, whether it be whatever type of illness, you're going to find it higher rates of occurrence, higher rates of morbidity among our Indian people here in South Dakota, which creates an obvious need for palliative care. What we don't know is to the extent to which palliative care is being delivered across that continuum of care in Indian country. And so that's exactly why we're doing this study, to find out from the tribes, from the community themselves, what the level of palliative care is being delivered and how we can do it more effectively.
Are people really jumping at the chance to be involved on these advisory boards?
You have my assurance that we've received an enthusiastic response from across all three of the reservations. We weren't sure how the recruitment process was going to go, but thankful to our team from Great Plains Health Board and from Massachusetts General and from SDSU and from Avera, we reached out. We recruited 14 initial CAB members. We can have a max of 16, but we have 14, and we have awesome representation from all three of the reservations.
And I'm not sure who would be best able to speak to kind of the next steps of where we go and what we have to look forward to.
The next step, so today with the Community Advisory Board, they will actually lay the foundation and help us really guide the questions that we would like to ask individuals, the cancer survivors, patients, their caregivers, potentially tribal health leaders and tribal healers, if these questions are appropriate, and also probably adding to that body of questions as to what questions they feel that we should ask. So they lay the foundation. We also are going through Institutional Review Board approval right now, and that in itself is very cumbersome, and that will be through Massachusetts General, Avera, IHS, all of it. And then more importantly, we also then will go to our tribal communities for their approval prior to initiating anything. And once all those approvals have been obtained, then Tinka and I will lead the talking circles, which are similar to a westernized focus group, but it's a more culturally appropriate way of working with tribal people, where we, you know, gather for a meal and we'll start working with cancer survivors first and understanding their needs. From that, we'll talk to caregivers who have of cancer patients about their needs. We'll also then be talking to tribal health leaders. So those, and this is really a two-year process that we're looking at right now, just finding it's more formative, trying to lay the groundwork to really know what are the needs and then developing the program from there.
Right.
And Jackie, I would add that with regard to the CABs participation in this study, this is not a one-time meeting. We have our initial kickoff meeting today with our CAB, but we will be meeting with them on a quarterly basis throughout the year and throughout the five-year study.
And I want to know a little bit more about both Massachusetts General and Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board's roles in this as it goes on. I know Mary mentioned, Tinka, you working with her about the talking circles. Are there other areas that you're involved in?
Sure. I think, you know, the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board has been around for many years, late 70s, early 80s. And really, we are charged with ensuring that we work with all the tribal leaders within the Great Plains region, which is North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa, and ensuring that we understand what health disparities our people are having and working on addressing those health disparities. So I think that's kind of two-factor. This is definitely a need in our Indian country, especially in our tribal communities in South Dakota, specifically Cheyenne River, Rosebud Sioux Tribe, and Oglala Lakota Sioux Tribe. So we know that, and we it's very important that we work together as a group to address this disparity and lack of services in our tribal communities. So really, we're multi-level, and we're here to do whatever we need to do to make this a successful project.
And then, BR, if you can speak to the Massachusetts General Hospital side of this project, what you're hoping to bring away from what we find throughout this program.
Sure. I feel like my role as a palliative care clinician and educator from the Mass General side, I'm really lucky for that. The first few years I get to just listen and learn rather than having to come in and do anything that may or may not be what is needed. And so I'm really eager to hear from the Community Advisor Board, from the talking circles, what the needs are and what palliative care ideally would look like in this setting. So my role in Boston, I provide palliative care in many different ways in Boston that may be totally irrelevant. And so wanting to make sure that any interventions that we do are really tailored and focused on what the needs are.
And I just would like to add that I think for the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board, one of the things that we offer to this is we are in the communities. Many of our employees are tribal members. And so helping this program project bridge that gap and be in those communities, we are from the communities. We know many of the people. We have a lot of different programs throughout the Great Plains region. So I think we really can lend a partnership and help build that partnership with this project with our tribes here in South Dakota.
And Jackie, I would add, in addition to Avera's involvement through my office, Dr. Dan Peter Wright in Walking Forward is also a part of Avera Health as a research team, and they've focused almost primarily on navigation of health research throughout Indian Country and their existence. But as one of the health systems involved in this partnership, it's also we're very much looking forward to what we learn from this study because, as you know, Avera Health provides cancer care in our health system, most recently with the opening of our Helmsley Center in Pierre. So how we provide interventions, we're looking forward to see how this informs our practice and our services as well.
Right. And I wonder if we can talk a little bit more, backtracking just a little bit, about some of those either differences or ways that palliative care really fits in with Lakota perspectives on caring for the sick and the elderly. I'm not sure who would be best able to speak to kind of those cultural perspectives, but to really kind of hammer home for listeners why it's important to have this very specific kind of care, not just from the health needs perspective, but also from a cultural care perspective.
Well, I'll take an initial stab at it, then I'll turn it over to Mary.
Yeah.
I think from a Lakota perspective, you got to always keep in mind when we provide health care that we have to keep in mind that the Lakota concept of wellness is not just addressing the symptom or the health issue, but it's addressing the whole person. And so in palliative care, what we're trying to do is we're trying to protect and watch out for the dignity of the whole person throughout the continuum of care. And so I think that's how this becomes relevant and with regard to the Lakota concept of what wellness is about. So I'll let Mary respond further.
Well, and then tagging on to what you've said, JR, with palliative care, central to that is not only the team focus, but also communication, and also that the patient and the family are the drivers, not the team. Mm-hmm. So we're there to listen, and I think the specialty truly in palliative care is that understanding how to communicate. And that's what has been so essential to my learning is working with the community and them telling me that the way I communicate with a white person is completely different than the way I communicate with a Lakota person. And really coming in and understanding that and the essential importance of spiritual care as a part of understanding who they are, offering prayer when it's needed. And really, that's what needs to be ingrained is that it isn't a one-size-fits-all. It's how do we make this so that it works for this community? And what we may find is that what is created for Pine Ridge may look a little different than what's created in Rosebud and may also look a little different than what's created for Cheyenne River.